had a lot of false religion going on in Jerusalem. There was a lot of false religion. And Hezekiah recognized this false religion, and he drove it out. He broke down the high places. He cut down the groves. He break in pieces. Well, notice this also. He break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses made. Now, this is kind of an unusual thing, and I think this really is a powerful truth for us in our generation, is that this man broke the serpent that Moses had made. Understand that this serpent was not made as an idol. It was not made as a false god. In fact, this serpent was made in obedience to God's command to Moses. Yet he broke this serpent. The reason he did it, it says right here, because he broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Nehushtan literally means a piece of brass. It's literally what it means. He said, this thing is just a piece of brass. And he broke it up. Now, honestly, if I had an opportunity to go to the Smithsonian Museum or some museum or place where they had kept this brazen serpent that Moses made with his own hands in commandment to God, I probably would want to go see it, honestly. Sam, I would want to go see it. I think this would be a pretty neat thing to see. I mean, Moses was told to make this thing. And not only that, but Jesus made reference to this and said personally that this was a symbol of his own ministry. When he talked to Nicodemus, he said in John 3, we can go over there, John 3, he spoke to Nicodemus about this brass serpent that Moses had made. And he talked about it in a good way. We see this in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and look at verse 14. This is Jesus talking to Nicodemus, and he says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus said, that brass serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness in obedience to God, that was a picture of my ministry. Jesus said that. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Messiah, said it himself. And this was a symbol of him. I'd like to see that thing. But here's the thing. They had made an idol out of that brass thing. And Hezekiah recognized it as a problem. And he said, we need to just get rid of this. And even the Bible talks about many of the things of the Old Testament that were a shadow of the things to come. And those things would be done away in Christ. And this brass serpent was one of those things. Yes, the brass serpent would have been neat to look at. The brass serpent would have been interesting to see and to think about. Wow, Moses himself made that with his own hands. But that's not the end. That is just a street sign. It points us in the direction of the Messiah. We need to find the Messiah. We need to have a relationship with him. Not get hung up on the details of the things that point to him. And this brass serpent, it truly was, as Hezekiah called it, Nehushtan. It was just a brass thing. It was nothing in itself. It was just a piece of brass. But the Lord's salvation is a living Savior who lives with us, who goes with us. And Hezekiah knew God. It says that he followed God. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." We need to hear the voice of God and follow him. Don't get hung up on traditions and on just doing things out of habit. But make sure, especially as we go into Christmas, there's so many Christmas traditions and people do so many things to celebrate the holiday, but often we miss the whole substance of what we're supposed to be celebrating, and that's the Messiah. Are you spending time with him? Do you know him? And are you making much of him in this time? We can get really distracted by all the details and the peripheral things that are supposed to point us to him, and lose sight of the Messiah himself, lose sight of Jesus himself. And so Hezekiah broke the serpent, and he said, it's a brass thing. We don't need to worship this. And God worked through his life in a great way. So there's a real danger in replacing God with traditions, with meetings. You say, well, I have a walk with God. I go to church regularly. Okay, but do you meet with God in church? You know, I come to church. I sing the hymns. Okay, but are you worshiping God and singing those hymns? It's not enough to just open the book and read the words and make a sound. Are you worshiping God? And are you seeking him? Or have you been held hung up on the traditions and the accessories of religion and not truly walking with him? It's very important that we make much of him, that we don't get hung up on these traditions. Now, I love the old hymns, but just repeating words does not mean that you're worshiping. Doesn't mean that you're praising God. God may not be worshipped by it. The Bible talks about the plowing of the wicked being sin. And you picture a man working hard out in the field, plowing the field, and working hard, maybe he's providing for his family and doing some things with some character. But it says the plowing of the wicked is sin. Because the reason for that is because he does it with a wicked heart. The wicked has a wicked heart. And so regardless of what he's doing, it might look good, it might look like, oh, he's a hard worker and he's diligent. But if he's doing it with a wicked heart, God doesn't honor it. And in the same way, we can come to church, we can be faithful, but we need to be seeking God and do it with a faithful heart toward him. And our worship and our praise needs to be directed toward him. Is God pleased by our worship? Is God pleased by our prayer and by the things that we're doing in this time of the year, in this season? Just singing the words doesn't mean that we actually believe the words. Think about those words that we say. I think Pastor Hayne does a great job in leading music, that he often points us back to the words of these songs and talks about the words of these songs and gets us thinking about the meaning of the words, and sometimes even the authors and some of the things that go into these songs. Think about the words of the songs. Think about, do you believe those words? One preacher said, you know, as Christians, we don't tell lies, we sing them. And it's true. And a lot of times it's very true. I've caught myself. I'll be in church singing a song, and I'll have to kind of snap out of it. Wait a minute. Where am I? I need to be thinking about these words that I'm singing. And sometimes I'll be singing the song, not even thinking about, do I really trust him? Or am I stressed about my bills? Am I stressed about health? Am I stressed about all these, the country? We need, by the way, we need to be praying for America. Right now, we need to be praying for America. There's the Electoral College is planning to meet tomorrow. We need to be praying for America. And there's a lot of things that are corrupt in our government right now. There's a lot of things that have gone on that are not right. Let's be praying for our nation. Let's be praying for our politicians, for our leaders. But let's also, as Christians, be seeking the heart of God as individuals. America's going to change as individuals change. And we have the key. We have the answer. As Christians, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ to be able to share with the world, to be able to turn the direction of this nation. And it starts with individuals. It starts with us sharing the gospel. Let's be praying for our country, for our land. But let's seek the heart of God as individuals. We have to seek him and believe his words. Traditions can kill us spiritually. They absolutely can. We need to have a close and real walk with God. We cannot at all, we cannot rely on traditions. Say, but I go to church. I'm a good Christian. Going to church doesn't do it. Even reading your Bible and singing the songs doesn't do it. You've got to seek God sincerely. Know him personally. There's going to be many that are going to come to Jesus in that last day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And they'll say, but I never knew you. And it's true today. We have to follow him, and we have to seek him personally and know him personally. In John 4, Jesus talking to the woman at the well in Samaria, he said, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We have to worship in spirit and truth. And here's the thing. If you're not worshiping in spirit, you're not worshiping him. Jesus said, they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So if you're not worshiping in spirit, you are not worshiping him. And you're not truly worshiping at all. We have to be worshiping in spirit. Seek his heart as we sing the songs. Seek his songs as we go to him in prayer. We can make a difference as God's people if we'll seek him. And he shall seek me and find me when he shall search for me with all your heart, Jesus, or the Old Testament said. He shall seek me and find me when you shall seek for me with all your heart. We need to seek him with all of our heart. And then Matthew 7 and verse 22, I just made reference to this, but many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, I hate when someone takes someone else's name and uses it deceptively. I think that's happened in the election. You see deceased people, 126-year-olds voting and things like this. But regardless of the results of the election, and that's going to have to be decided by others other than us, but there's been a lot of corruption in this election. There has been. And there's been so many names, people's names have been used without their permission. Somebody's name has been taken and they voted, maybe they voted Democrat and was changed Republican or vice versa. But whatever happened, there's been names that have been corrupted, that have been used deceptively. And there's been corruption in the politics and in this electoral process. I hate that. People have died so that we have the right to elect our officials. And guess what happens in the church? We use the name of Christ, but we don't follow him. We say, yeah, I'm serving him. And he says, are you? I haven't talked to you. When did you talk to me last? We need to be talking to him. We need to be following him. And listen, if we are using his name and we're doing all these things in his name, but we don't know him and we don't hear his voice, it doesn't please him. And he says, you're workers of iniquity. You say one thing and do another. They're not equal. Iniquity means not equal. It's not equal. You say this, but you're not following me. You're not following me. You're not my sheep because you're not hearing my voice. And so these people, they've done all these things, but they hadn't followed him. And he'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Psalm 150 is a song that is focused on this attitude of praise toward God. Praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals, praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Everything that hath breath, you can read through the book of Psalms, much of it is on this topic of praise and singing psalms and sings of songs of praise to the Lord. And this last psalm, it tells us, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. What a great challenge it is for us to praise God. Well, there's I have a few more minutes. I'm gonna talk a little bit more about the life of Hezekiah as we continue on here in 2 Kings 18. It says here that in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, this is verse 9, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. At the end of 3 years, they took it, even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. This was in the sixth year. So the sixth year of Hezekiah's reign, Samaria was taken. That was the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel. And it was taken. You see this huge army coming in and overcoming the city of Samaria in the northern kingdom. And as time went on, it tells us that verse 13, now the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. So this king came into Judah. And this was where Hezekiah reigned, was in Judah. And as they came in, they took these fenced cities one after another. They fell. And they came up to Jerusalem. And Hezekiah had put gold on the posts and on the doors of the temple. And he took that gold back off and he gave it to the king of Assyria as kind of a peace offering. But that wasn't going to stop them. And they came and they attacked Jerusalem, and they besieged it. They surrounded them, and we see they said to Hezekiah. This is let's look at verse 27. Rabshakeh said unto them, "Hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak to these words? Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall that they may eat their own dung, drink their own piss with you?" He's attacking Jerusalem. He's attacking Hezekiah. And he's saying, listen, don't let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. Verse 22, he had said that. He said, "But if he say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he that whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and hath said to Judah and to Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem?" He said, listen, you think you're going to trust in the Lord? Hezekiah is breaking down all his altars. Hezekiah is destroying all everything that was the Lord's. You know, he broke up that brass serpent, and he's broken down all these images and all these groves, and he's destroying God anyway. Hezekiah doesn't know God. I'm coming to tell you, God's with the nation of Assyria. He's not with Hezekiah. But guess what? This messenger here, Rabshakeh, he was a liar. He had said that Hezekiah was breaking down the things of God and pulling them away from God. But Hezekiah was a man after God's heart. He was a man who didn't cease from following after the Lord. He was a man who was seeking God. But when the attacks came, they started pointing at the spiritual leadership that they had, and the attacks Hezekiah doesn't walk with God anyway. Hezekiah is pulling away from God, and God's not going to protect you. And we see that the heart here of Rabshakeh, because later he says that all the gods of all these other nations were nothing. Let's see here, verse 33. We see Rabshakeh is just using this. He doesn't care about the God of Israel at all. And we see this in verse 33. "Have any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sarvain, Hinnom, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand?" The people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, "Answer him not." So this man, Rabshakeh, said, you know, we've destroyed all these cities. And he went through a whole list of all these cities that they'd already destroyed. He said, the gods of these nations can't stop the forces of Assyria. The forces of Assyria are destroying every nation. And you know what is the God of Israel? He's going to save you out of the hand of the king of Assyria. He's not going to help you. And this is the time that we live in. We live in a time where it seems like we're against all odds as Christians, as those that try to seek the heart of God, as those that try to truly study the Word of God, the authorized Scripture, the King James Bible. As we study the pure Word of God, it seems like we're a minority. It seems like we can't make a difference in the eyes of the world, but we can as we seek the heart of God. And we see this in Hezekiah's life. When Hezekiah heard he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went on into the house of the Lord. So here's a man who was seeking God. He says in verse 3, and then he said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble. Oh, let me back up just a little bit, verse 2. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household of Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. So these men now go to Isaiah and talk to Isaiah and say, listen, Isaiah, we have a problem. And Isaiah was a great prophet. We see that these men went to Isaiah to try to get a word from Isaiah, to try to find the help of God in this time of distress. Verse 3, and they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and a rebuke and blasphemy. Notice this, this is a great verse here. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. This is religion without the power of God. This is a form of godliness, but denying the power. We say, well, you just pray a prayer, or read these verses, and you know, if you think that's true, then you're good to go. No, we need the power of God to be born again. It takes the power of God to change a life. It doesn't happen with simple theology. It takes the power of God. And so these men come to Isaiah and they say, listen, the children are coming to birth, but there's not power to bring forth. We can't birth them. In other words, we've been seeking the heart of God. Hezekiah has been getting rid of these idols and trying to turn Judah back to the heart of God and Jerusalem back to the heart of God. But we're struggling. Our faith is not strong. And so they came to Isaiah and said, you know, we need strength to have the faith that we need. We need the power of God here. And look at this, verse 4. Maybe the Lord thy God will hear. Well, God might hear. God hears everything that we say. God knows everything that we say. And it might be that God will hear. That sounds like a living God. Not like the brass serpent. Hezekiah was looking for a living God. When he sent messengers to Isaiah, they were looking for a living God who could hear. He that formed the ear, shall he not hear? Of course he can. Notice that it may be that he will hear. Who's that? God will hear. It may be that when all the politics are formed against our nation, trying to destroy our nation, it may be that God will hear and that God will do. If we'll pray, if we'll seek his heart. It's against all odds, but it was against all odds for them here. It may be that the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the, what's that, living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword of his own land. God's going to destroy Assyria from within. And it's my prayer that God would have mercy on our country, because I do believe that our country right now is being destroyed from within. But we need to pray that God would direct our nation, that God would direct the church. Listen, we have this virus going around, and we're trying to distance from one another. Now's the time to seek the heart of God, to be knit together as the body of Christ. Whether we're able to assemble in person this week or whenever we are, we need to be together in spirit and heart to love God and to love one another, to be joined together as his people, not to be destroyed from within. Assyria was going to be destroyed from within. Verse 16, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he had sent to reproach the living God. He's a living God, and he heard and he did. I'm going to move on here. Verse 35, it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp the Assyrians, 185,000. When they rose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Okay, so this is talking about 185,000. Not really bad math, but that would be 185,000. 185,000 were dead corpses. Okay? So, when the others that were not the 185,000 woke up, they saw 185,000 dead. Wow. And you know what we have when we have religion without a personal relationship with God? We have dead corpses. That brass serpent was a dead corpse. And if we don't walk with God, we are nothing but dead corpses. We need to walk with God, or we'll be destroyed from it. And individually and as a nation, we must walk with God. They saw God at work, the angel of God, destroying the enemy through his power. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, the little g-god there, and Adramelech and Sherezer, his sons, smote him with the sword. They escaped in the land of Armenia, and Ezer had his son reigned instead. So Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, he went back and was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god. And his sons rose up, and they slew him there. God destroyed him from within because he didn't have a living God. He trusted in the arm of the flesh. He trusted in the abilities of the flesh. I think about Israel when they had their exodus out of Egypt, and they said, "Can God provide can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Absolutely. Can He send manna from heaven? Yes, He can. He can still do that today. We still serve a living God, a powerful God. We need to look to Him." You say, "But I don't see how the numbers are going to work. I don't see how it works out logically." Seek God individually. Walk with Him, we can make a difference if we do that. Throw off Nehushtan, that brass thing. Don't trust in traditions. Walk with God, worship Him, seek His heart. I'm going to go ahead and close the prayer this morning.
We'll break for a few minutes before we start the morning service. Father, we do thank You. We thank You so much for Your love to us, and to be able to spend some time together today, Lord. We're just a few in number here, but we do thank You for